CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 200 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection,
the
worldwide leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
I am so thrilled and so honored and so proud to introduce the love of my life, the father of our two girls, and the president of the United States of America.
And in Charlotte, I can be as nuts as I want to be. Woo! I'll be naked if I want to be. I'll be the president if I want to be. I'll ride up that mountain and make love to your old lady if I want to. You know why? Because I'm Ric Flair. Woo! And you're not.
Contrary to popular belief, Ric Flair as president would have put us at $32 trillion in debt. But this is not a money issue. We are here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have a few of the usual suspects in here. First, from all the way on the other side of the planet, Shane Beeman.
G'day.
And from deep in the heart of Texas, Typho.
I'm going to take my time right here to say a very big congratulations to Lacey Von Erich on the birth of her second son this week, because nobody else will say it, so I have to.
And did the doctor at least catch him?
As I understand it, the kid popped out and put the doctor in the claw.
Let's see, do I have anybody else at the table tonight? Oh, look, an empty chair. Brian, I swear, you are late. This is the first time you've ever been late to a show. I can't understand why you can just sit there and think that I am going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You didn't even tell me you were going to be taking your time coming to the show. He'll be by later.
Well, maybe he had a bit of an incident with a folding chair. I don't know. I'm not speculating.
Well, actually, can I get a butt in that seat? Let me get a butt in that seat. Hey, Jim Williams.
Hey, how you doing? It's a big butt.
I wasn't going to say it.
He can't lie.
Chief High Muggity Mug can't deny.
Poopy.
Don't start. We have a lot to discuss. This is a serious broadcast show.
Pony.
That's no,
boss. You gotta do this right.
No!
Pony.
No!
Yes.
No!
Shut up, Harold.
Okay.
Let's see. First things first. Since we ourselves are part of a network, we got to watch one practically go down in flames. Mm-hmm. As WWE has continued to attempt to create this monstrosity known as the WWE Network, and so far, Jim, you called it. Fail.
It's about as effective as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, as JR might say.
But it doesn't sound like WWE is quite giving up.
Vince McMahon admitting failure? Surely you jest.
I know better. Let's see. Hey Shane, if they, you know, they're gonna try to rework it again. If they can make something feasible, do you think they'd send it down under?
Oh, I think it's gonna go down under, all right, but not in a good way.
That code.
I think he's more on track than.
The network is, yes.
Oh, sadly. Yes. Typho, did you? Had you caught the latest about that?
I did, yeah. I'm thinking the network, yeah, down under is where it's headed, and I'm not talking about Australia. It's going now, farther down than that.
Oh yeah, Jim, you mentioned something to me before the show regarding Universal HD, kind of putting some feelers out towards Vince, saying, "Hey, you want some TV time?"
Well, exactly. According to Bleacher Report, and again, they're not exactly the bastion of wrestling news and information, but there was a report that Universal HD, which re-airs Raw and SmackDown Saturday nights and early Sunday mornings, was willing to offer some airtime on their, I don't want to say fledgling, but not as widely known or recognized network for WWE programming, essentially a timeshare kind of thing. And that would make more sense than a 24-hour network. I'll give you what I like in this, too. There was a network back around, I want to say 2000 or 2001, called the Football Network. You never heard of it? Most of America never did. It was financed by a few people, including Pat Summerall. And it lasted less than a year because it didn't have NFL stuff and the product was just too basic and bland. I don't think there's a place for a 24/7 wrestling network, even though there's lots of material to go through and comb through. I think the Classics On Demand model works perfectly fine myself.
And even with the work that they're doing right now on getting the Mid-South Library and the original UWF, which is, you know, good for a laugh.
Oh, jeez, are you ain't kidding?
Well, just the fact that they've got so many libraries to play with, yeah, they could they have the material to run 24/7, but they've put it out there. The cable providers and satellite providers are like, we don't see the money in it, and they've pulled prospective customers, including their own fans, who said, you know, that's cool and all, but why would I want to pay $10 a month for it?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
And
it's they have so much material, they're just trying to find the best profitable and most profitable avenue to air it. Because people do want to see the old stuff. They want to harken back to yesterday. They want to see the old ECW. They want to see the old independent promotions and the old territorial days and what have you. It's just they don't know the proper model to do it, and plus major cable companies, outside of maybe Comcast, which is just another arm of NBC, would not be interested in it. That's what it comes down to. The cable and satellite providers are just not digging the idea of a 24/7 wrestling/entertainment channel.
And Typho, if something like that did exist, would you shell out the kale for it?
Probably, yeah, but, I mean, I'm somebody who, since I was like 6 years old, has owned every wrestling tape, DVD, whatever I could find and get my hands on, so, I mean, I may not be the best person to ask that question to.
All right, then I'll ask Shane. Same question.
I don't really see a problem with it. Like, each their own, like, obviously with typo there, like, you've got to have hardcore fans like that that have, over the years, gathered, like, watched wrestling to such a great degree. So for them, yeah, it'd be perfect, 24/7 watching wrestling. But for some of them might find it overkill. So I don't know. I'm a bit 50-50 on it.
All right. I personally, I'm horrible about this. I don't spend money on a lot of extra channels. I barely have the cable package that I have, just to make sure that I can get wrestling programming out, you know, on my TV. And did I just hear somebody come in?
They will be coming in shortly. I'll tell you this, though, from my take, it depends on how they market it. If they're marketing it as a separate channel worth X number of dollars, no. If they add it to many cable and satellite provider sports packages for a couple of bucks more, they might get more bites. It really depends.
Because I agree with you with the universal HD idea. I would expand some channels to go add that to my package, but I would not pay outright for just a channel. But that's just me.
That's kind of like how FX movies, they have their 12 hours a day, they have the older stuff, like Fox, from the older Fox library, and 12 hours they have the current stuff that, you know, or more current movies that people have recently seen in theaters. If they go by something like that model, they might have a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm. And look who finally decided to join us. Brian.
I'm sorry, Nikki. I had a couple of guys who had to get folding chairs. You know how that goes.
Oh, I know. And I've been yelling at your folding chair right here, the one that Jim's been sitting in.
Oh, about that, I have an extra cushion because I kind of squashed it down a little bit. Here you go, Brian. Just take the cushion. Put it under your backside. You'll be good as gone. I'll be over this way, folks.
You're lucky I'm in a good mood, Williams. I'll tell you that much.
And you're lucky I was able to fill in for you, Henniger.
Okay, we're even then.
Okay, there you go.
Boys.
Honey. Okay.
Honey.
That's it. I'm out. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Don't let the door hit you in the... anyway.
Anyway, so let us move on to Monday night. So much wonderful things happening on this show. Especially something about, did you know that my dear Uncle Paul is a CM Punk guy?
He must be.
I'd heard something about that before, I think.
Well, it just seems that a prediction, an offhand comment, a insignificant promo from the previous summer has come back to bite the WWE square on the ass.
And kick it in the ass at the same time.
Oh, it was pretty. It was pretty. The shock of CM Punk leaving a Raw in Chicago, Smark Central, his hometown, his people. Typho, did you notice that there wasn't a whole lot of booing going on?
That did catch my attention a little bit. For some reason, I guess they like CM Punk there. I don't know.
Brian, you're an old school fan. Is this a Kurt Hennig in Minnesota thing?
It is. It really is. I mean, look, CM Punk is a hero in that town. And I'm going to say it now. They couldn't have picked a worse city to try a heel turn than Chicago, Illinois. Because he could sacrifice a goat in that town and they'd cheer for him.
Leave Daniel Bryan out of this.
Yeah, he could try to sacrifice Billy the Goat that the Cubs bring in every once in a while.
He's right on that. I mean, in Chicago, no matter what you're going to do, you're not going to get him to boo CM Punk. And, I mean, it makes me remember sitting in the crowd back in 2001 at WrestleMania 17 watching them try to turn Austin and watching the show go off the air and Austin still spend about 20 minutes posing as the entire Astrodome's cheering for him. Who cares that he just shook hands with Vince McMahon and beat down The Rock with a chair? It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's Texas.
Exactly. So I should have listened a little closer, Shane, but I wonder if the cheers got louder at the end of the night when the vehicle that CM Punk decided to board after giving Mr. Cena a GTS across the hood of the Chrysler, I believe he was driving. I think the crowd just got louder when they saw who was driving that vehicle.
Well, if they didn't, then the WWE must have held the audio out on that one, because I can guarantee you I was marking out for that moment. I mean, your Uncle Paul being the driver behind the car with CM Punk.
By the way,
Nikki, for months now, and finally we see the result.
Sorry, Brian, you were about to say?
No, just wondering, Nikki. You know, the thing is, you know, why didn't you let us know that his uncle had helped negotiate those personal days into his contract?
Oh, no. That wasn't Uncle Paul's doing. That was the contract that Punk had put together last year around Money in the Bank.
Oh, okay. I remember now.
That was all part of his new deal. And he also did it just to piss off AJ.
So if we can use a phrase from TV Tropes, he's trying to break the cutie.
Yeah. And he's not alone in breaking her, because we had other little things. Jack Swagger essentially applying for, I almost want to say, medical leave. Having been on such a long losing streak, has decided, you know, I'm better than this. I need to take some time off.
So basically, he's been spending so much time on his back that he's developing bed sores.
Wow.
And Raw is going to be devastated with the absence of Jack Swagger.
That's 2 points for Brian. and in your direction, Typho, Cameron, one of the Funkadactyls, has been suspended for 2 weeks for her DUI mess.
15 days, I think. DUI, trying to give a cop $10,000 to forget about it. You know, 15 days, sounds about right. Chris Jericho kicks a flag in Brazil and gets 30.
Well, it seems like the only person that's really upset about this is AW. Oh, I tell an off-color joke and they can my ass. Dude, there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Okay, now see, me making a joke about Jim's rather large waist, that's off color. You were evil in what you did.
What? What are you talking about?
I thought we were like burying him, and I. Okay, I'll just sit over here now. Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
I beg your pardon.
Hey, I never promised you a rose garden.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well played.
One of those kinds of nights, friends.
What did I ever do to you folks?
You do a
I'm
lot.
A broadcast of journalist. I was a war correspondent. Somebody clip those hooves off right now.
Now let's see, where were we? try to get us back on track. Let's see. Jerry Lawler. Pardon?
Raw. We're talking about Raw.
Yes. Jerry Lawler had gone ahead and sold his injuries from the previous week, and so they decided to put The Miz at the table with Michael Cole. Now, at first, I had my head in my hands because there was a point during the show where the two of them turned into the Mutual Admiration Society. But overall, Shane, it wasn't that bad.
No, actually, that's what I love when you can actually send, when the guys, WWE sends out guys like the superstars, and they actually can commentate, they can do good jobs, and Miz was doing brilliantly. When I tuned in to watch it, I was like, hang on a second, who's this on commentary? Because they're pretty good. And then I found out it was Miz. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Well, given his reality TV experience, this is you know, second nature for him. Instead of giving him a script, just let him talk.
Oh, he's come a long way since friggin'. See, that's how far along he's come. I can't even remember the crap reality show that he did before. So,
the Real World.
Thank that you.
I was going to say. Go ahead. I was going to say he's come a long way from notes on his wrist for the Diva Search.
And going, ooh, rah!
Who cares? Anyway, although I'll tell you what, he really shown during what I thought was one of the most ridiculous but well worked segments of that entire show. Kane and Daniel Bryan hugging it out.
That was awesome.
It was amazing. Typha, we're in the middle of Smark Central, and the crowd is going bonkers for this. You can't tell me that they didn't vote for Hug It Out.
I mean, why wouldn't you at that point? I mean, you've seen Kane and Daniel Bryan have matches with each other before. I mean, the only thing left to do is hug.
And the audience is chanting, Hug It Out! Hug It Out!
And on top of this, Shane, we've got Miz blathering about the rules of a hug it out.
Oh God!
I'm going to start.
I have to admit that entire segment, I was both speechless and just dumbfounded by it. I was like, okay, because I honestly thought to myself, there's no possible way that these people have voted for them to hug it out. But then as soon as the Chicago fans all are chanting, hug it out, I'm like, okay, it's 100% certain they did. What's this world coming to?
Well, actually, somebody, it had been pointed out to me, this might harken back to something that Brian had done in Ring of Honor in a feud with El Generico. A moment called Lo Siento, where he and Generico hugged it out. And just to play with it, apparently, they went ahead and, you know, they messed with the hug it out thing on SmackDown with Brian interacting with Hornswoggle backstage, then trying to use it in his match. I was amused.
Oh, it's don't get me wrong, it's amusing, but I've talked about this with you before, Nikki. I find it humorous. Like, I loved the anger management classes and everything else. It's all brilliantly done, but it's just like there's just some points where you take it a bit over, and like if you have to give Hornswoggle a spot by having him. Which, you know, you could see it coming from a mile away. He was going to stomp on his foot. I'm like, come on, any day now. But it was funny, I'll give it that.
So, but yeah, it's giving Brian some character. It just adds to the long list of confusing and bizarre crap that's in Kane's life. And probably will end up being a match at Night of Champions. Just warning.
Well, but hey, if you know if you get a really good match out of Kane, it would be Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm. And Typha suggested that we get Harold, to show up and jump in the match. Actually, I was expecting him to show up during Hug It Out. I really expected him to come walking to the ring while the two of them are trying to hug each other, and he goes in there and he tries to get them to hug, and then they kill him. And then they hug. And then we have a tag team.
Also, if you noticed during the anger management, actually classroom skits there,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't just old Harold in there, but over on the other side was a former Wrestling Society X-Ring announcer, Fabian Kalin.
Oh, shoot! I should have paid attention.
Which that maybe now makes me want to see him also hired to replace Willian Garcia and Justin Roberts and Schimmel. Just let them ring announce every show.
Well, no. I kind of like Justin Roberts.
Justin's a doofus, I will say that. Schimmel surprisingly hasn't been doing a whole lot of ring announcing. In fact, this is the first time I'd heard him in months was this past weekend on my road trip. So,
ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the Thanksgiving Turkey Bowl match.
Doofus.
Schimmel's around. That means it's time for somebody to win a championship.
Championship. It's women's.
What is that? What is it? That term again? Wild line.
Wild line. In fact, there's another one of those off the air things that came on YouTube like a couple of days ago, and Schimmel is berated to death on it.
Ooh.
Poor guy.
I'll have to go look that up.
As Joey Styles would say, poor bastard.
The poor bastard?
So, well, if Kane and Daniel Bryan don't end up as a tag team, they've at least they've added to the tag team divisions with Los Luchadores. I mean, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. I'm going to call this a good idea only because it limits Sin Cara's ring time so that people don't continue to compile Botchamania fodder. It minimizes Mysterio's time because apparently he's still not 100%. I don't think he ever will be. And, well, criminy, they're just a lot of fun to watch together.
They are. And, by the way, kudos to whoever had the bright idea to change that extremely dangerous entrance that Sin Cara does to an equally awesome entrance that's not quite as dangerous.
Are you talking the getting rid of the trampoline and having him do the somersaults off the middle rope?
Yes.
I miss the trampoline still. I mean, I know it's dangerous, and the first time he almost, he almost tripped on the rope, the first time he did it, but, man.
And got the most famous chant in all of wrestling.
Over and over and over again, so. But I kind of like them together. I'm sorry, Typho.
I do wish that they would take my suggestion and name their tag team, "Hey, we have a prescription for that."
Not in the PG era.
Or call them the disabled list.
Just don't call INS. Sorry, that was rude. That was rude of me.
Well, they would just come take Hunico instead, probably.
But yeah, just, now that, we add Los Luchadores, so we have them, Primo and Epico, we have the Primetime Players, we have the Usos, we have our current champions, Kofi and Truth, with little Jimmy, who needs to be put on the Chiron. My God, we have a tag team division.
Hunico and Camacho.
Yeah, but I haven't seen them on TV in a while. I thought they were on the road with the house shows. I actually saw one of Hunico's bikes backstage. So, but that's neither here nor there. If they end up getting into the tag team mess as well, that'd be great.
There's my new favorite tag team, McGillicuddy and Johnny Curtis.
They've been doing the house show loop too, so. Something tells me I might just have to take a minute here and talk about those house shows.
They did a Superstars match in Dallas last month, and that was the first I'd really seen them together. I'd heard they were teaming, but they came out with like the matching leather vest and jacket combo and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh look, they're like a real team now.
Yeah, they came out with their for lack of a better term, biker jackets. Their biker vests. We asked them what biker bar they bought them from. Let's see.
I heard somebody say they should call themselves Weirdly Perfect or something like that.
Perfectly Weird, yes. No, Perfectly Weird was some of the fans I ran into in Des Moines. We had two guys walking around, one dressed as Hogan, one dressed as the Macho Man, completely in character.
Yes.
Having way too much fun.
Well, heck, when I went to WrestleMania 2 years ago, I swear to you, there was one guy who dressed up. They walked past us down to their seats. One of them was dressed like Bobby the Brain Heenan with the sequined sport coat. The other was dressed like Terry Taylor as the Red Rooster.
Oh, my goodness.
And as they walked past, I bet they didn't think anyone would recognize them. I just went cock-a-doodle-loo, and they both threw their thumbs up at me.
Awesome.
I just hope it was their thumbs.
What a cock.
Ouch. So, yeah, I find these two goofballs, and then there's a third guy running around as Sheamus. So, you know, they were driving security crazy. Let's see. The cards weren't that bad. Gabriel and Slater, although in Madison, poor Slater also had to job to Tyson Kidd, Hornswoggle, and the Wisconsin Badger. Alicia Fox got a win over Natalia. Ryback killed Jinder Mahal. Yeah, Johnny Curtis and McGillicuddy facing the Usos, despite their lack of TV time, were still crazy over. And they cut out the spot during their tag match, McGillicuddy and Curtis, where they start arguing. They end up, you know, they have an accident spot, they end up arguing with each other, and then they hug it out. Let's see, Ziggler and Orton, you saw some of the stuff that they did at the house shows you saw on TV this week. Let's see. Ah, yes, and that was the other big thing. The return of Wade Barrett.
And the Barrett Barrage.
The Barrett Barrage.
Now, he's been sporting a new shirt, but it's not for sale yet. I'm disappointed.
You am disappointed.
Yes. And we got to watch him beat the crap out of Tyson Kidd and used similar tactics when beating up Yoshitatsu on SmackDown this week. Let's see. For television purposes, I'm looking forward to, if they do it, a U.S. title triple threat match. How would this feel on your TV, guys? Antonio Cesaro versus Cody Rhodes versus Sin Cara.
Feel and better than seeing Cesaro face Santino Marella every week.
To give it that. Shane, would you watch that?
Yeah, I'd watch it because I feel like Cody's actually being underutilized right now, so definitely give him a title shot, and it'd be a great match to watch.
And just as a potential preview, we've been seeing the mains have been Sheamus Del Rio. One night we got a 2 out of 3 falls match. And another night, what did we get? The other night was a street fight. So technically a Raw active match. That's something I will mention about the house shows. They actually have been adding so much more in the social media thing. They give you, you know, they give you a Twitter hashtag. They give you a text number. And then they give you an email address so that if you're taking pictures with your phone, you can email the pictures you're taking. And when they put the no doubt, you know, when they mentioned that we could pick the stipulation for the main event, they actually put on the screens the voting, and they showed you the numbers as they were cycling up and down as people were turning in their votes. Really trying to bring the crowd into the show, even though it wasn't a televised event. So I was extremely impressed. And I think that, you know, this is something that, you know, once the word gets around, you know, that might actually help. That might help attendance down the road. What do you think, Brian?
That's a match I'd love to see. I mean, that would be something I would be really interested in.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Did I have anything else for all that? Well, and in case you're bored, you can always go over to NikkiHeyman.com and take a look at all the new recruits that I picked up over the past weekend and the weekend before. Oh, for crying out loud.
May I have your attention, please?
Yeah, here we go.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager. On my Sega Terra Drive Model 3.
Your what?
Models 2 and 1 weren't good enough?
Now I go top of the line, baby.
Pixar, it didn't happen.
Check the chat.
I'll be a zombie. Yeah, you're high tech. Windows possibly 3.1. Very good. Proud of you.
Well. Okay.
Shucky Ducky.
It says it was built by IBM in Japan for Sega, and it was only sold there.
So how'd you get one?
I have my connections.
I'm sure. Let's see what the GM's got to say. Oh, hey, Jim, this is for you, actually.
Yeah, could you pass it over to me here?
Yeah, let me forward it.
Okay. I've always wanted to do this. Hi, everybody!
Help yourself.
And I quote, the anonymous general manager would like me to read the following disclaimer on behalf of Nikki Heyman and her enterprises, shall we say. Nikki Heyman, the NAWC, CLW83 Network, nor the entity of WrestleChat.net are in any way, shape, or form affiliated with WWE, TNA, ROH, or any other established wrestling league. We are a means of talk entertainment and strive to make our content enjoyable for our listeners. Despite implications heard on this broadcast and others, the persona of Nikki Heyman has not or ever has been an employee of WWE. And any references made on this broadcast or any other in the past, present, or future were not and are not meant to mislead individuals into believing so. This is, after all, entertainment. One more thing, Nikki.
Tony.
Oh, come on!
Even the GM gets into it.
Wait a second. There's another page here. It just says, P.S. Scootaloo, Scoot, Scootaloo.
Why?
I think I'm going to need a minute to calm Jim down. So,
you're more than a minute. You better sell
Jim,
him.
Jim.
Back
happy
up.
Place. Happy place. Happy place.
Happy place.
So, let's put Jim in his happy place, and right now I think we just need to cool down the room a little bit. Gentlemen, the restrooms are open. There's plenty of refreshments. We're going to take a couple of minutes and sell some soap. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news, and hopefully Jim will be calmed down by then.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Bullying isn't always about physicality.
Often, it starts with a joke.
You seriously talk out of both sides of your mouth every single week on every single show.
Actually,
it's ridiculous.
Actually, my mouth's fine. It's only JR.
Teasing someone for being different. And in the age of Facebook and Twitter, sometimes there can be no escape.
The torment can be relentless.
Back on, Cole! Cole, that right there! That right there! Oh, Boomer Sooner! Oh, you football team! We did it!
We can't continue to ignore this problem anymore. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
That's your whiskers.
Yeah.
Join the creative coalition, GLAAD, Champions Against Bullying, WWE and its partners as we put an end to bullying once and for all.
Don't be a bully, be a star.
Star. Be a star.
Show tolerance and respect.
Pinata!
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Roll the tape on this.
Do we actually want to talk about some wrestling?
I thought this was the North American Court TV connection.
We have more listeners. Anyway,
Hey, this is not actuality. It's wrestlingality.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no.
If you see a licensed movie game, it's usually crap.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls at home, that is the Chris Clark hat trick.
Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, apparently presented by My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. I'm your host, Derpy.
Oh! Nikki! Nikki! Great Bleach!
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hey, this is ECW Original, the Blue Meanie, the Blue Guy, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in, or else...
And we're back on North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Brian Henniger, Shane Beeman, and Typho. Typho, you're still here, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Okay. I'm going to do something I don't typically do on this show, and that's going to talk a little TNA. Apparently, there's a lot of roster shuffling going around. Brian, you saw that the men formerly known as the Dudleys have been, I think, have finally got all their stuff shook out.
I believe so. We know D-Von is leaving, though, from what I'm reading at the phenomenal website, WrestleChat.net, which you should all be visiting multiple times a day. They're saying that D-Von is, quote, unlikely for a WWE run. However, I personally believe that... that Brother Ray may be on his way back because he's shown a lot of promise in his in his TNA run.
I've heard that he's gone ahead and re-signed a deal. D-Von, I think he's done. He might be going back to just running his school. There was a picture floating around for a little while with him wearing a Raw t-shirt, but I don't know if the Fed would pick him up. And Shane, if WWE did pick D-Von back up, what would they do with him?
Reverend D-Von.
Then would Mason Ryan be his deacon?
Yep, gives him something to do too.
Try to build some more money for the building fund.
For his building, for the prophet McMahon.
It's holy 7-year rule, Batman. Anyway, let's see. The rumors are starting again that Chris Sabin will be leaving. And that is possible, but if he's still hurt, because I know he's still tending to an ACL injury, I don't think the Fed's going to pick him up. Did we lose Shane?
Yes, we did.
Thanks, boss. Then I'll throw this back at Brian. Do you think the Fed would be interested in Saban?
Well, they've already gotten Alex Shelley, or they're in the process of getting Alex Shelley. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, for all the think crap we say about Vince McMahon and WWE, he knows, he sees the wrestling scene. He knows that the MCMGs are one of the best tag teams in TNA. He'd love to scoop them both up.
So, and Shane, since now that you're back with us, Motor City Machine Guns and WWE, interested?
Oh, who wouldn't be? Probably one of the best tag teams going in wrestling today. I mean, Vince would be stupid not to get both of them.
Well,
he's already got Alex Shelley, but now with the talk of Chris Sabin leaving, it's like, ooh, snatch up quick.
Well, we just got to get the stupid lawsuit out of the way. And then we can actually, you know, we can actually get some roster shuffled around, because somebody else might, you know, there might be some interest. I don't know if WWE would give her a second shot, but Winter, WWE fans know her as Katie Lee Burchill, is also gone from TNA. And since WWE's not all that great with their women's division either, I don't know if they'd give her a second look. Typho, do you think the Fed should pick her up?
Yeah, because, I mean, eventually they're going to have a new crop of divas that are going to be competent in the ring. Right now, on TV, they don't. But when they do, they're going to actually have people capable of putting matches together. And, I mean, Winter, Katie Lee Burchill would be perfect for that. I mean, first time around, on her own, actually wrestling, she didn't get that much of a chance, so I mean, why not bring her back? And I also have to say, with her leaving now also, that I'm feeling more and more like a curse from my visit to the Belton House show back in June, because I think half the women I met there have since left the company.
Did you meet Brooke Hogan?
I did not.
Damn it.
I know. Now I'm scared for Sarita and Rosita, because met them both as well. And I don't know.
I'd endorse the curse if you'd actually met Brooke Hogan.
I think Brooke Hogan, during my 3 or 4 days of TNA events in June, Brooke Hogan was the one woman on the roster. Well, Brooke Hogan and ODB were the only women on the roster I did not meet. That were on the roster at that time.
Right. I was going to say
half of them are gone now.
Well, I was going to say, but you should meet ODB sometime, because she is awesome.
I was looking through my program. I'm like, I think I met the whole Knockouts division, and I got to ODB at the back. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I did. Got them all signed except ODB.
That's all right. My only, you know, I've managed to bolster my quote-unquote divas division when I've managed to catch Caitlin and Alicia Fox over the last couple of weekends. So, who else was I supposed to talk about? Oh, this is kind of a borderline thing, and that's Christian. Now, I was kind of worried because they had taken him off TV, and they've taken him out of the SmackDown intro. Now, we all know that he was tied in with the deal so that Ric Flair could come over to WWE and be at the Hall of Fame for the Four Horsemen induction. But Christian's not just taking this time off for his Bound for Glory thing, where he's going to induct Sting into their Hall of Fame. It's my understanding that he's still having a couple of issues with his ankle, so he wants the time to go ahead and rest up. He's between storylines. So this will give him some time off and freshen up his character. But, Shane, when he gets back, what do you do with him?
It depends. Like, you can... We all know Vince doesn't really see Christian as a main event person. So I guess you'd probably just stick him straight into the US title scene. Either that or put him... Or switch him over to Raw, and have him taking on the Miz for the Intercontinental title. I don't know.
Brian, what would you do? What would you do?
I'm honestly not sure, but I'm going to say this: Christian's getting to a point now where his age is starting to catch up with him. Maybe he's getting to where he can't go. I'm going to give you an idea. I would give him a chance to see if he could be a decent job as a commentator. Because he's a very funny guy, and he can really do a good job. I'd say give him a chance.
That'd be interesting to hear.
Speaking of commentating, have you guys already talked about the two people who WWE apparently wants back behind the desk with the telex on?
I know JBL's on that short list.
The other one is Mick Foley.
Good luck with that, because Foley, the reason that Foley left the last time was because he got sick of people screaming in his ear while he was doing commentary. I don't think they're going to get Foley in for commentating. If they get him for anything, they might bring him in to be a big name to pick up for one of the or the other of the GMs, because they're deliberately the storylines right now for AJ and Booker T is essentially they've set them both up to fail. I don't know how I feel about that. AJ, I kind of understand, because you can't have somebody that unbalanced running a wrestling promotion. Wait.
They let Rob Black have one.
Hey-o!
I just realized that, AJ running Raw, Vince McMahon running WWE, nah, coincidence, never mind. And then Booker T having all these crazy issues with Del Rio, deciding to throw money at David Otunga to try to sue SmackDown over the Brogue Kick.
They banned the Brogue Kick. This is, sucks.
To that, I have one thing to say about Otunga and this lawsuit business. That's gimmick infringement. My Uncle Paul was suing people before you came back from your movie. So enough of the lawsuit business, or at least tell me what Uncle Paul got out of suing Triple H and suing the WWE short of making the evil Dr. Levesque get a haircut.
Maybe that was the stipulation in the lawsuit. Heyman wanted Triple H's hair for himself.
That'd make a really ugly comb over. Nah, don't think it works that way. But we will know more soon enough. One other TNA person I need to talk about is our resident Dorcas. I mean, gold medalist. As Kurt Angle is crossing a rather unusual line, as he's sneaking under the NBC umbrella to do some commentary for what do we have here? World Series of Fighting MMA promotion.
Hopefully he can walk that line straight.
I'm just worried that they're giving him a live mic on network. They're brave.
They don't know what they're in for, do they?
No, they don't. Now, granted, he's not going to be the only one at the table. I'm probably going to badger. I'm going to butcher these names, so I apologize to the respective people. Bas Rutten, Michael Schiavello, and Dorcas. I mean, Kurt.
Can you do any worse than I do butchering people's names?
That's true, boss. So.
Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Well, it's MMA, so it's supposedly real. But this is not the show to open that debate. So, do I have any UFC guys here? Anyone? Bueller?
I'll watch it.
I'm a semi-UFC guy.
Can you guys tell me anything about these other two dudes?
Well, Bas Rutten is one of
the... Hang on one second. Miguel Torres. I've seen a couple of Miguel's fights. He's not too bad, but like I said, I only watch it a bit, so.
Fair enough.
Okay, well, now my thing is, I know that Bas Rutten is a really, really good commentator. He is hilarious.
Okay.
Because every year, MMA on DC.net does the Bozzy Awards.
Okay.
And he can be very, very funny.
Okay. And I just got a note that Schiavello is actually pretty solid.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's the voice of the HDNet fights, you know, and he's from Australia, and Mark Cuban back when it was HDNet, not Access TV or whatever the hell they call it now. Liked what he heard from him, brought him to the States, and Schiavello, who's, you know, known as the voice, does a great job. He's energetic, he's informative. Think of Gus Johnson if he was white and Australian, and that's Michael Schiavello, I think.
Let's just call it Derpy TV and get over with.
Why do you gotta... I'm leaving. I'm done for good now. Good night. That's... No.
Derpy.
Daniel, Jim, it's Dr. Schuler. Just remember your anger collage, okay? I mean, just remember the ponies.
I don't need an anger collage, Dr. Schuler or Shelby or whoever you are.
Or Sheldon.
Sheldon. Wait a minute. When did the Big Bang Theory show up here?
Bazinga!
Indeed.
Scootaloo!
No!
Okay, guys, honestly, do we really want to see Jim have a coronary? I mean, Jim? He's done so much for us.
I think they actually do, Brian.
Well, Jim, you know, despite my previous difficulties with you today, I've got your back.
Yes!
Who asked Daniel Bryan? I'm done now.
He's a heel. You should expect that.
Back to the show.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do need to get back to the show. Let's see. WWE is heading to Canada next week, which means they are out of my range, but interest is.
Hey.
And so one of their stops will be Monday night in Montreal, where they will have Pat Patterson Appreciation Night, which just the jokes write themselves, people.
Write your own jokes.
I cue the Iron Cheek thoughts on Pat Patterson here.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I wanted to say something, but about seven things went into my brain at once, and I can't put together a thought now.
Well, then I'll just put a thought out there just kind of as a bit of brain bleach. Thank you. Yes, as WWE has advertised for the first time in 15 years, Bret Hart is appearing in a WWE ring in Montreal. And place your bets. CM Punk puts him in a sharpshooter, yes or no?
Yes.
Difo?
Yeah, probably.
Shane?
It pretty much just writes itself, doesn't it?
What are you looking at?
Somebody who's going to try to top the Hoosier Daddy Montreal promo.
Whenever I think of that, I always think
coming. Sylvain comes out and attacks Bret Hart.
And puts him in his finishing move that was literally named, I kid you not, the French Tickler.
No, that was Rene Dupree.
That was Dupree. Sylvain was 3 seconds of fame.
Well,
at least when he had the model gimmick, that was his fame.
Well, F my life again.
But remember the SmackDown in Montreal where Sylvain came out and got a Hogan pop? I'll never forget that. Now every time they go to Montreal, I just wish Sylvain was there.
A French Tickler on Pat Patterson Appreciation Night. I can't say it with a straight face.
Luckily for us, they'll only be backstage this time.
And he's single, fellas. Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Whenever I think of Pat Patterson, I always think of a story that that Mick Foley tells, that when he was first in line to get his first contract with WWE, Shane Douglas knew he was going to get the job. And back then, Pat Patterson was head of talent, so he was the one who would call you and tell you if it was going to be him. So Shane Douglas knew this, and he's good at impersonating people, so he called up Mick's dad, pretending to be Pat Patterson, and he said, I want to talk to Mick. And Mick said, Dad, I got to ask you something. Would this guy have a French accent, and did he have really bad trouble mixing up his plurals and his singulars? He said, yeah, it was him. So he said, hello, this is Pat Patterson's, and I'm telling yous. And then he said, then I found out it was Shane, and I've never forgiven the man for that.
Can't say I blame him. I wouldn't forgive him either.
Better today now that every developmental talent of the last 8 years can do a perfect Johnny Ace impersonation.
And so can half the current roster. There was also talk that Brett was going to come in and mediate some sort of Twitter thing going on between Natalya and Heath Slater.
The one man.
I'm baffled.
Slater is no stranger to jobbing to women on TV, so.
Or jobbing to midgets and mascots at house shows.
Or jobbing to over-the-hill legends.
That he probably did. That he didn't mind. But I don't think that Brett's just going to be there for that. I think they're going to go ahead and try to do something with him and Punk, and see if they can get Montreal, which isn't exactly I don't want to call it a fan's place, and I do want to call it we're going to be in another corner of Bizarro World, so.
The rest of the world may have gotten over it, but that city never will.
No. So, but given that that is a pretty smart-tastic crowd, Brian, will Punk putting Brett in the sharpshooter be enough to get them to boo him?
Yeah, because, look, we all know that every Canadian loves Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they just love the excellence of execution, and for good reason. He's their countryman. If you're going to try to turn Punk heel, and he's never going to fully turn heel because the smarts in the audience nowadays will never accept it. Okay? It's never going to happen fully. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get a heel pop, that's the way you do it.
I just get this wonderful image of Punk with Brett in the sharpshooter and my dear Uncle Paul sitting next to Brett and just berating him without a microphone. And you could still hear him.
He's the real excellence of execution!
Oh, that's a pretty image. That's a wonderful image.
Oh my god, you broke his arm.
And in the words of Gallagher, I did not break my arm. I dislocated my elbow.
Which is pretty much the same thing that that put Mr. Barrett on the shelf for some months, but I am so happy to see him back.
And apparently he's now learned how to say the letter T.
Well, you think you spent all that time idle?
Well, no.
I mean, he went back down into the abyss. Haven't you seen those promos? Hopefully he found Joseph Park, too.
You saved me from making that joke. But no, I'm just glad to see him back, and I'm curious to see which way they're going to send him from here. Although I think for the next month or so, he's just going to be beating people up at random. Then they can put him in the title picture. Let's see. Okay, we talked earlier about JBL and Foley being brought back in for commentary, and as I mentioned, they're the fact that Booker T and AJ might be on the way out as GMs. For Raw, they're not going to put Vicky in charge. I just can't see it. They've already done that once. So, Shane, if AJ gets tossed out on her ear, who should be running Raw?
If you're going to have anyone to come back and run Raw, I don't know. The two top people I have in mind will obviously, like, with his new business haircut that he's gotten done, you could always have Triple H return as Raw GM. If not him, I would have actually put in... coming to me in a second. Oh, I hate that. Mental blank. Once all this turmoil actually gets out of the way with the lawsuits and everything else, Ric Flair.
I could see that. Typho, you got any ideas to replace AJ? Or would you?
I say bring in Ted Turner.
How about Billionaire Ted so we can bring back the wrestling war room?
That works for me. As long as the Huckster and Nacho Man get the headline Raw.
With Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler doing MST3K commentary.
Just get the Huckster on the mic again to let him do his little brother at my age. My feet don't leave the ground.
Let's see, likelihood of this happening.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no.
All right, just let Harold be the GM of Raw then.
Actually, I would accept that, Brian.
He'd be all right. I'd like to see somehow have Paul Heyman become the GM.
I think that should be something he gets from the lawsuits. Not just the trophy of the Evil Doc's ponytail.
Which you and I both know he has like on a pike in the middle of his yard.
No, I think once he got it, he took it home and he burned it in effigy.
And let the evil dissipate into the night air.
Yes. I could only hope that Uncle Paul would get to run Raw. I would love to see that. I just can't see them trying to have a GM for both shows. But then again, I'm somebody who holds on to the last shreds of the potential of brand identity and brand division. Am I a fool for that?
No.
Yeah.
Can I get a maybe from Shane?
Oh, maybe.
I miss the days of the strictly enforced brand extension where somebody from SmackDown showed up on Raw, security chased him out of the building and all that. It was better that way, in my opinion. Now it's just they kind of like, well, Raw and SmackDown, yeah, but now the U.S. title is kind of on SmackDown, and Sheamus and Del Rio just appear on Raw whenever. And just last month at the Raw I went to, my cousin went with me. He was like, is the Big Show on Raw? I'm like, sure. But it doesn't matter. He's on post shows anyway.
Right. And I've run into that with the SmackDown house shows where, you know, there's still kids wondering where John Cena is. And I'm like, you're not getting him here.
Think about how confused probably the wrestlers themselves are when it comes to house shows. Like, well, we're going on the SmackDown house shows this week, I think. It's like, oh, which roster are you on? I don't know. I do both shows.
and the newest roster book that's out doesn't even specify what show each person is on.
But you did, yes, you did. No, here, I'll do one for you. Perhaps.
Huh? Now,
I've got to get better jokes. Where are my writers at?
I think you need to get some folding chairs.
They're all drunk, Brian.
I think you need to fire your writers personally, but
yeah. Well, first I'd have to hire a writer, which I think that's my big problem.
Well, speaking of writing, before I write this show off completely, I just have to let the world know that we are 10 episodes away from episode 250 of the North American Wrestling Connection.
Woo!
Somehow we have made it this far, and I have every intention on making it to 250. Hell or high water, folding chairs and cheese graters. It doesn't matter. We're going to get there.
Folding chairs, barbed wire, pots, pans, tin cans, it don't matter.
Now you're getting the picture. But yes, 10 short weeks away, we will be celebrating 250 episodes of all of this wonderful nonsense that I call the North American Wrestling Connection. And I can't do it alone. So, I will take this moment to thank you, Brian, thank Shane, thank Typho, thank our Chief High Muckety Muck, as well as our even higher Muckety Muck, Brett Calandaniel, for putting up with our nonsense on his site. So, before we go, since I've done all of my plugging for the week, Brian, what do you promote?
Well, my usual nonsense, WrestleChat.net, which we always plug because they're awesome. Pixel Nation on the CLWA Network, which is the best video game podcast in all the world. And I'd like to give a quick plug to a very special person in my life. Tonight they're doing Stand Up for Cancer, and I want to stand up for my sister, Katie, who has been a survivor for 7 years and counting. She is an inspiration to me, and I'm proud beyond words to call her my sister, and I love her to pieces. Katie, if you ever watch this show or listen to this show, mwah, I love you, baby, so much.
Attaboy. Typho, I'm sure you have something to promote.
I do, of course. I mean, well, there's always Tuesday night for Typho. Every Tuesday night, I'm hanging around somewhere. Talk about nothing usually. Still fun nonetheless. And also, for on the off chance that there's one or two fellow of my Dallas Fort Worth area people around, Metroplex Wrestling, one of the best indie promotions in the area, they're now running two shows a month, up from their usual one. And woo. I would also like to say, coming up in probably late October, possibly early November, yours truly will be entering Metroplex Wrestling's training facilities himself.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Best of luck to you, sir.
So hopefully sometime down the road when you want a guest wrestler on the show, you might have one at the ready.
I will certainly keep that in mind, and we'll probably be bugging you periodically to see how your training's going.
Not that it'll make any of my stories any more interesting, but I mean,
we'll still pester you, regardless. Shane?
The only thing I have to plug is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Jim Williams' anger collage of ponies will be sold on eBay.com. Do go check it out.
For the tag team champions of the world!
Shane, what did I ever do to you?
I'm sorry, Jim, but I just have to jump on the poke the bear with a stick angle. That's...
You rock! Woohoo!
Thank you, Flut. Wait a minute! This is... Okay, just because I bought the freaking... pre-ordered the freaking Season 1 DVDs for my friend Kayla doesn't mean...
You realize we're still recording.
Uh-oh. Doesn't mean that you like cue this here.
I think K-fabe. On that note...
What did I ever do to you people?
Kayfabe? What is that?
What the heck?
I just... I don't...
I love him, my brother in the Jack. He the best. Some people say he half a half. He no half a half.
What he said.
Yes.
I broke the kayfabe. Anyway.
He broke many other things, too. But
you've broken his brain.
Yes.
I've been tying...
If someone breaks his brain, that'd be me.
Well, I'm gonna break all this up before the chairs start swinging.
I got one on standby.
Uh-huh.
I've got my usual stash.
Okay, so gentlemen, let's save that for after the show. So yay. For High Muckety Muck Carl Schneer, for Jim Williams, for Brian Henniger, for Typho, for Shane Beeman, and anybody else who decided to crash my show, my name is Nikki Heyman. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection. Please come back and listen to us even more next week.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.